Welcome to the ministry of Mercy Seat Ministries and evangelist Pat and Karen Schatzlein. We believe that the message you are about to hear will mightily change your life. Open your heart, mind, and spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to move in you. We must declare it to the next generation.
Welcome, Karen Schatzlein. Give it up. What? Come on, give it up.
You may be seated
across the house.
Good morning, everyone. That is my hero right there, my husband. He is my hero.
Stop.
And my absolute best. No,
don't
really,
stop.
You're my hero.
Don't stop.
Yeah, yeah. So I am so honored to be here. And as everyone's making their way to their seats, I'm so amazed at the hunger and the desperation at this conference. I just happen to believe that there are some people in this place who didn't just come for another conference, who didn't just come for another worship set, who didn't just come just to say I was a part of a movement, but they came because they were desperate to see the power of God take place in their life. I believe that you're here because you know there's got to be something more. That you know that there's something more than dead religion. That there's something more than the humdrum everyday routine of going through the motions. And I'm here to tell you that God has intentional encounters for you today. That He is sick and tired of us walking through life just randomly bumping into Him at random times in our life. That there is a point in our life where we have to get to a point where we say, I'm intentionally pursuing His presence. I'm intentionally running after His presence. I'm intentionally giving Him my all. And that's what I believe that He has for you today. I believe that if you're here, that you're at that point, that you realize that God has something more for you. But so many times, we're so busy. We run around. We're doing everything, making, you know, our lives, trying to develop who we are, we're running around so busy that we don't take time to spend time in God's presence. It's easy, even at these conferences, to come in and we run around with a schedule. We have to keep a schedule, and we do have to. They remind me with the time clock back in the back. I have a schedule. But sometimes God wants to interrupt your life. Sometimes God wants to interrupt your schedule, to interrupt your plan. I am a planner by nature. I have, you know, a plan. When we wake up in the morning, Pat and I look at each other, and what's your goals and visions for the day? You know, we decide what we're going to do for that day. But sometimes God says, you know what, I'm going to put a little hiccup in her plan, and I'm going to show up and mess up her plans. And that's what He's going to do for you today. You may have came to this conference because your friends came. You may have come just because your youth pastor talked you into it. You may have come because your mom and dad said, you're going or you're grounded for 3 months. But you're here. And God says, I'm going to give an intentional encounter with you if you will allow me to. You see, so many times we come to conferences and the speakers get up and you think you've got them figured out. You think you know everything about them. You think, well, they've got it together. They've got the perfect life. They've got the perfect setup, the perfect everything. They've just got everything all figured out. What can I tell you? That I'm not that person. You have no idea the things that I've walked through to get to where I am today. The struggles that I had to walk through. I think Pat had mentioned that there was a point in my life where I couldn't even stand up in front of a crowd and say my name. The words would not come out. I couldn't do it. There was a point in my life where I was so insecure, so desperate, so full of hopelessness, feeling like I was just had nothing to offer. There was a point in my life when I was a young girl, a preteen, or going into my teenage years, where I felt like I was nothing, that I was worthless, that I had no voice, that I was invisible. Have you ever felt that way? Or maybe your life is perfect. Maybe you have it all together. Maybe you are just at the top of the food chain. But that wasn't me. I was such an insecure girl. I looked in the mirror and I hated what I saw when I looked in the mirror. And there were moments in my life where I had such despair, such loneliness, such feelings of hopelessness that I didn't know where to turn. And I found myself as a 13-year-old girl going into seventh grade, going into middle school. And, you know, middle school is just terrifying in itself. I mean, going into middle school. But when you're that girl that is afraid and scared and insecure and awkward and can't even say your name, it's a nightmare when you're going into middle school. And so I got on the bus that morning for the first day of the beginning of what I thought was going to be a nightmare. And so I get on the bus and I go to school. And where I grew up, there was, you know, they didn't know what to do with the seventh graders because you went to, you know, to elementary school from kindergarten to sixth grade, you know, and then middle school was technically eighth and ninth, and then 10th through 12th was, you know, high school. Well, seventh grade, they didn't know what to do with where we were from, and so they just shipped us all from all the elementary schools to this one seventh grade school. And there was barbed wire all around it. It was like prison. You know, I mean, so here I was, this insecure 13-year-old girl going to prison on the first day of prison. And so I get off the bus and I walk into the school, you know, through this fence with barbed wire and everything. And I'm like, I'm going to die today. I am going to literally die. I'm not going to make it out alive today. And so I walk into that school in all its intimidation. And I walk in, and the first thing there is was a courtyard full of people. Have you ever been in that place where you think, I wish so badly someone would say something to me, but then at the same time, I so wish no one even would know that I was here? And so I walked into that courtyard, and I did what I always did. I found the most secluded area of that courtyard on this concrete bench, and I ran to it, and I sat down, and I just felt invisible in that moment, and I sat there with my head down, and I was just thinking, I cannot wait for the bell to ring so I can just go to class. And I sat there in silence with my head down, and I wanted to cry, you know, and the tears were welling up in my eyes, and I'm 13 years old, and I'm in prison, and I'm wanting to cry. And nobody wants to cry the first day of middle school. Nobody wants to be labeled the crier the first day of prison. And so I sat there, and right about the time that the tears were about to start rolling down my face, I closed my eyes and I felt an arm come around me. And I looked up, and immediately I was shocked. I didn't know what to think, and I looked around, and there was nobody there. And I'm thinking, great, not only am I in prison, I'm about to cry, but someone's picking on me. And so I closed my eyes again, just hoping they would leave me alone. And I felt that same arm come around me. And I opened my eyes, and there was no one there. And so I closed my eyes, and I heard a voice that I have never forgotten in my entire life. In that moment of despair, in that moment of fear, in that moment of insecurity, in that moment of awkwardness, I heard a voice that I would never forget that said, Karen, you're not alone. I heard a voice that said, Karen, I'm right here with you. I love you just the way you are. You're not alone. You don't have to walk alone. There are some of you who have come into this place today. And I feel God's presence here because there are some of you who have come into this place today and you feel like there's no one there for you. You feel like you have no one, but God's saying to you right now, you're not alone. You don't have to walk alone. And I heard the words come into my heart that said, if you will allow me to, I will walk this journey with you. I will walk out this journey. It won't be easy. It's not going to be simple, but I will walk with you. And in that moment, I knew. And I would love to say to you that immediately that I overcame my shyness, I overcame all that stuff. I would love to tell you that I became the captain of the cheerleading squad and the captain of the debate team, but no, I was awkward all through high school. I was that kid that was so afraid to stand up and give reports. I would break out in hives and all of that. But see, God didn't take away the shyness, but he took away my fear. He took away my insecurity. He took away those things that were crippling me. And he said, I've got a plan for you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your family's like. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on. It matters that you are walking with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he has your life in his hands. That's what mattered to me. There were decisions that I had to make that weren't popular to stand for truth. But God said, you're not walking alone. See, there's that moment in your life where you realize that your life matters. That he actually cares about you. That he cares about every detail of your life. Every little point in your life. Your fears, your anxieties, your concerns. He cares. And your life matters. Those encounters that take place, that divine moment in time where he shows up and he does something on your behalf in his presence, in his power, in his deliverance. You see, I love the song that we were singing, Amazing Grace. Grace wasn't what gave me the excuse to turn away from him. Grace is what saved me that day. Grace is what gave me a purpose. Grace is what gave me hope. That's what grace is. See, I want to share with you today about just such a woman who was hopeless, who felt like she didn't have anything to live for. I want to share with you a passage of scripture that I hope will change your life forever. But I want to set the stage with you for you because it was a hot day, so much like today, because it is so hot here. But it was hot outside, and Jesus sent the disciples to get food. And they walked up on a well, and Jesus sat on that well. It was Jacob's well. Jacob was a deceiver, and Jesus sat on that well. But he didn't have anything to dip the cool water out with. He didn't have anything to get water with. But see, that's not why he was there. He was there because there was a woman who would be at that well that day who needed an encounter with a loving Savior. That's why he showed up at the well today, just like he showed up here. So many times we feel like we have to bring Jesus to our conference. Jesus is already here. He was waiting when you woke up this morning going, I hope they show up at the well today. I hope they show up at the altar today. I hope they come ready to receive today. He was waiting for you. So no matter what you've walked through, he's here already. He was here before you woke up this morning. He was at the foot of your bed saying, get up, get ready, don't lag behind. He was waiting on you. But see, this was a dirty woman. This was a Samaritan woman. But so many times we like to think that she was dirty. But see, in those days, the Bible said that she had five husbands and the man that she was living with was not her husband. And so we love to think, well, she must have just had affairs. She must have just been such a filthy woman running around having affairs with everyone in the community, everyone in the neighborhood. But that's not the case, because in those days, a woman found in adultery would have been stoned on the spot. And she was obviously alive. But what probably happened was that she was thrown away, that she was just rejected by the men in her life, that she was rejected, that they weren't pleased with her, that she couldn't produce an heir for them. She couldn't have a baby, which was the ultimate goal in the women of that time, to carry on an heir, to have an heir, to carry on the family name. They threw her away because she couldn't do what they thought she was meant to do. But God had a bigger plan for her. You see, she appeared to be this dirty woman. What kind of God spends time with a woman like that? What would people say if they walked up and saw him talking to her at the well? What would they say about him? What kind of God cares about a woman like that? My God, my Savior, who says, I care about the brokenhearted. I care about the rejected. I care about the ones that everyone else forgets about. I care about the ones who everyone says won't amount to anything. All those he cares about. But see, I bet she was ashamed as she walked up that day. I bet she was ashamed to look up, to look him in the eyes. I bet she just walked with her head down low. And when she came to the well, I bet she thought, great. Someone's at the well, someone to ridicule me, someone to make fun of me, someone to abuse me, someone to hurt me. I bet she looked down low, afraid to look into his eyes, afraid that he wouldn't have eyes of compassion or acceptance for her. How many of you, in all the mistakes that you've made, in all the despair, in all those things, you're afraid to look into the eyes of God, afraid he won't have eyes of compassion for you, afraid he won't have eyes of acceptance for you. Can I tell you that he's looking down and he's saying, child, just look up into my eyes of love, look up into my eyes that can forgive, that can wipe the slate clean, that'll give you a fresh start. Look up into my eyes of healing. That's what God has for you. But see, John 4:7 states, a woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. She came to draw water, and Jesus said, would you give me a drink of water? And his disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch, and the Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? Because Jews in those days were considered dogs, or Jews in those days considered the Samaritans to be dogs. Because you see, the world may call you dirty. The world may place labels on you. The world may call you broken. The world may call you filthy. The world may call you just all the different names, but God calls you his child. He doesn't call you the labels that the world puts on you. He says, I see past all the junk, and you're just my child. He doesn't call you by the labels the world places on you. Change is waiting on you today. Change has come to bring you to a new level. See, this woman was alone. She was all by herself. She went at noon when people were resting, when they were taking naps. Her head was hung low. She looked at no one. She had to be dying of thirst by this point because everyone else gathered their water in the morning. She had to be dehydrated. She had to be longing for refreshment by this point. And she had to be at that point where she was thinking, I need to get refreshment. Because you see, I understand that for God to truly change someone and to use them, they first have an encounter with a loving Savior. That one-on-one moment where God opens up your heart and does surgery on you. He has the healing oil that no one else can provide for you. Everything else just pacifies. But God says, I have healing oil. I know the remedy for your pain. I know the procedure that will heal your life. I know what can reach down and pull you out of despair. Change in the form of a Savior had arrived. Romans 12:1 says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. I love this. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God is calling you to something so new, so amazing. God is calling you to be a world changer. He is calling you to be remnant. He is calling you to make a stand. God doesn't need you to stand up for Him. He wants you to stand up with Him, to walk and to walk in victory. See, this message is for all of you who feel relegated to the back. This message, this session today is for healing. This session today is for everyone who wants to be up front worshiping, who wants to walk in freedom. But your chains of your past failures and your past things that you've done, maybe something you did last night, maybe something you did right before you came to this conference, keeps you chained to your seat in the back. But God says, I saw what you did. I was there. I know what you did. And I still choose to love you. I still choose to walk with you. I can set you free. This message is for you. You see, I love that so many times we say, God, visit us. God, visit us. We do not need another visitation from God. We need a habitation where we say, move in with me, God. Make room in your home for Him. Say, I'll set up camp with you. I will walk with you. I will talk with you. Move in with me, God. Change reminds me of a butterfly. I love it because my precious daughter, Abby, and I love the butterfly exhibit at the zoo. We absolutely love it. Every year when it opens, we go and we watch the butterflies flying all around, and the same thing happens every year. We walk in, and our goal is to get a butterfly to land on us. And they do, and we both get freaked out, and we go running out of the butterfly exhibit. So it's like a two-minute process every year. And so, but change reminds me of a butterfly because a butterfly has to go through change, and it's not comfortable. It has to go through all these different phases called metamorphosis, which means a transformation. God wants to take you on a transformation process today. He wants to change you from who you thought you were to who He's called you to be, to who the world said you were, to who He has called you to be. He wants to transform you. The butterfly has to go from an egg to a larva to a caterpillar to a cocoon to a beautiful butterfly. But most of this generation just sees themselves as the worm, the caterpillar, just crawling around on the ground, just eating whatever the world gives us, just taking in whatever's put before us, never questioning, never looking to the Word to see what is truth and what is not, just crawling around, eating everything, just getting fat on whatever the world gives us. But God says, I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you on a process. I want to move you into that cocoon phase. What you call dark times in your life, God calls preparation. What you call those moments of loneliness, He's taking you into that chrysalis, which means the protected stage of growth. There have been dark times in my life that I have walked through, but in the dark times is when I heard the voice of God. That 13-year-old little girl who was scared out of her mind heard the voice of God. Would I have heard that if I had been overconfident? See, those dark moments are times of preparation that teach you to hear His voice, because in those moments you cry out for it. God is calling this generation to stand up as a remnant, but the only way you're going to do that is if you put on the full armor of God. To put on, when you wake up in the morning, when you get up, we've got so many spiritual streakers running around without their armor. We say, God says, get up, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the belt buckle of truth, pick up your shield of faith, get the sword of the Spirit, make sure your feet are fitted with readiness for wherever He calls you to go. God is calling us to fight. God is calling us to fight. Abby loves the butterfly, and she wants so much to help her. She has such a compassionate heart. And we walked outside one day, and there was a butterfly struggling to get out of its cocoon. And I'll never forget, because, you know, I try to make, you know, life things, you know, learning times for my kids. And Abby said, Mom, can you help the butterfly? Just help it. Open the cocoon. You know, help it get out of there. It's struggling. It's not going to make it. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, I can help it. I could open the cocoon. I could help it get out of that. And it's going to spread its beautiful wings. And it's going to soar up to the sky. It's going to be the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. I said, but in that moment, it's going to fall back to the ground. And it's going to die. I said, because if we help it out, it's not going to fight its way out. And you see, it's in the struggle that it becomes strong. It's in the struggle that the blood pumps through its wings. It's in the struggle that God's Spirit and His blood pumps through us. It's in the struggle that we run to our hiding place. It's in His struggle, in the struggle. It's when the bully comes knocking that we run to who we know can protect us. It's in the struggle that we find our strength. It's in the struggle. But sometimes change does require help, and Jesus wants to help us. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 states, so friends, take a firm stand, feet on the ground and head high. Keep a tight grip on what you were taught, whether in personal conversation or by our letter. May Jesus Himself, our God, our Father, who reached out in love and surprised you with gifts of unending help and confidence, put a fresh heart in you, invigorate your work, enliven your speech. In one moment, in one encounter, God can change everything. He can bring help to you. But God is calling us today. Can I have a minute of your time? He's saying, can I have just one moment of your time? I believe that this morning that God wants to come and He wants to sit next to you, that He wants to take up seats next to you. He wants to fill this room with His presence. He's urging me to tell you that He wants to take a walk with you, that He wants to walk the journey with you, that He wants to show you that if He can interrupt that Samaritan woman's life, that He will interrupt you, that He's not done with your life. He wants to invade this room, give you access to the throne room, give you the keys to the throne. He wants to heal you, to stir your heart towards Him, to get you to act, to get you to move, to get you to get out of your complacency, out of your normalcy, to get you to move to something better. The answers that you're looking for can be found in Him, and Him alone. You can go searching for everything everywhere, but the answers you're looking for are found in Him. Sometimes we have to turn off the computer, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off our iPhone, turn off Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and say, God, I need your presence. I need your anointing. I need you to invade my room. I need you to come into my bedroom. So many times I see people running to Instagram, running to Facebook and Twitter and saying, I want to hear a word. I've got to get a word. I've got to see what God's speaking to everybody else. Can I tell you, He wants to speak to you. He wants to have encounters with you. He wants to know you. He wants to speak to you for you to learn His voice. I promise you that life will not come to a screeching halt if you don't post what you have for lunch today on Instagram. Because God says, I want an encounter with you. Psalms 119 says, let your love, God, shape my life with salvation, exactly as you have promised. Then I'll be able to stand up to mockery because I trusted your word. Don't ever deprive me of truth, not ever. Your commandments are what I depend on. Oh, I'll guard with my life what you've revealed to me. Guard it now, guard it ever. And I'll stride freely through wide open spaces as I look for your truth and your wisdom. Then I'll tell the world what I find. Speak out boldly in public, unembarrassed. I cherish your commandments. Oh, how I love them, relishing every fragment of your counsel. Can I tell you, God wants you to pursue truth. He wants you to run after it, seek after it. He wants you to pursue wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. If it costs you all you have, get understanding. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Can I tell you that when wisdom is in operation in your life, you won't go places and do things that your spirit man may not be strong enough to get you out of? When you're walking in wisdom, God is walking with you. He's saying, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't go in there. Don't say that. Don't be that. God wants you to walk in wisdom. He wants you to walk in truth. Truth is the new hate speech. Truth may not be fun. Truth may be uncomfortable. Truth may cause you to walk alone at times, but the truth will set you free. The truth will always lead you down a path of righteousness. God wants you to walk in truth. When God comes near, it is so amazing. He has great things for you. This was a Samaritan woman that came to the well, but he asked her for a drink, but she would be the one who would get her thirst quenched that day. John 4:10 states, it says, Jesus answered, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water. And the woman said, sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with. I know you can tell this is a woman. I mean, she's arguing with God. And this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock and passed it down to us. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will continue to get thirsty. But anyone who drinks the water that I give them will never thirst again. Not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. And the woman said, sir, give me this water so that I never have to come back to this well again. You see, she didn't want to keep from coming back to the well because she was lazy. She didn't want to keep coming back to the well because she didn't want to take care of her family. She didn't want to go to the well because it was a constant reminder of rejection and failure and everything she had to face every day walking to the well. She went over, rehearsed, rehashed all the pain that she had been through. She didn't want to go to the well because it was a constant reminder of her low status in life. The sneers, the jeers, the mockery. She went at the hottest part of the day when no one would be there so she wouldn't have to face who she really was. So she wouldn't have to face, so she could go there for 5 minutes of peace. But that day was different because there was a man who sat on the deceiver, who sat on the enemy, who silenced the voice and the lies of the enemy that day, who told her that she was worthless, who told her that she was nothing. He silenced the voice of the enemy and said, I have called you. I have set you apart. I have put your feet on solid ground. You are precious. You are amazing. I have called you. That's who Jesus is. Can you see how she went from despair to realizing that there was something more? Her eyes were opened. She didn't want to come back to the well. But by the time we got to verse 23, she realized that he was the real deal, that he had hope. Because you see, just 15 minutes earlier, she was hopeless. But just moments in his presence, she had hope. God has hope for you today, that it's not over, that it's not over for you, that no matter what you've walked through, it's not over. He was offering her living water, freedom from her pain, and life and a purpose. God wants to give you purpose. John 4:23 states, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father's out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. It's all about relationship. It's all about having encounters. He told her about her history. He told her the truth. He confronted her truth. But then he healed her and gave her a future. You see, God says, I don't just want to expose your truth. I want to give you a future. I want to set you free. John 4:25 says, the woman said, I don't know about that, but I do know that the Messiah is coming. And when he arrives, we'll get the whole story. And Jesus said, I am he. You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. You can stop searching. He's right here with you. So many of us are searching. If I just get the right clothes, if I just get the right family, if I just get the right this, if I just get the right that, if I just had the right hairstyle, if I just had the right pair of tennis shoes, then I could live it. And God says, all you need is me. All you need is my presence. See, he convinced her that he was the living water. And what I love about this is when he finally convinced her, she dropped her watering pot. She dropped what had held her back. She dropped the weight that she had been carrying. She dropped the pain. She dropped everything. And she ran back to the city. She ran back to the ones who had rejected her. She ran back to the ones who had caused her pain. She ran back to the ones who wouldn't give her a second thought. And she said, there's a man at the well who knows my story. There's a man at the well who knows my pain. There's a man at the well that knows what you're going through. And she told the whole city about Christ. She used what she had walked through to help others get free. She wasn't bound by bitterness and anger. She released it, ran back, and brought an entire city to God. You see, the remnant is those that don't hold on to pain of their past. The remnant is those who don't hold on to anger or unforgiveness. The remnant is those who get free and set others free by the power of God. That is what the remnant is. Because you see, our time spent with God in private will determine our influence in public. God loves us so much to have encounters. We need to realize that everything we go through is not just about us. It's about those that need to see that we have gotten free. It's about those who need courage to step forward in their own freedom. You see, when you get free, you give others permission to get free. God loves you. There's a bigger picture. Your freedom will set others free, but there are lessons from our secret encounters with him. What if today, like the Samaritan woman, Jesus came up and sat by you? What would you do? I believe if he sat next to me, he'd say, Karen, I knew you first. I knew the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I still love you. And then I imagine he would say, am I not enough for you? Am I not enough? You see, my family was poor, but I never knew it. All I knew was that he had a plan for me. I knew that there was more than what I saw in the natural. But see, we need to be able to look in the enemy's face and point our finger at him and say, he is all I need. He is all I've ever needed. He is enough. I am a force to be reckoned with because with him I can conquer anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But so many times I've heard him say, I really am jealous for you. Jesus doesn't share very well. I love the movie Finding Nemo, and I love the part in it. And I was watching it one time with Abby, and there was the birds, you know, that are on the rocks, and they're going through, and they're trying to get the fish, and they're going, mine, 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 mine. And I heard God speak to me in that silly moment, and he said, that's what I do for you. As you're walking through your day and all the arrows from the enemy's hitting you, I'm going, nope, nope, she's mine. Nope, nope, mine. It's mine. You see, I like to think that I'm God's favorite, that he loves me just that much. I've heard him say to me, please stay just mine. Please stay just mine. See, he's calling a generation back to integrity and purity. He's calling a generation back to a place. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I don't know about you, but I want to see him. And if it takes a pure heart to do that, I'm going to stay pure. I want to see God. I want to see him look at me with those loving eyes and say, well done. I want to see him look at me and say, you made it. You fought. You fought the good fight. But see, before this woman's encounter with God, the woman at the well didn't place a very high value on her purity or her integrity. She just felt dirty and worthless. You see, integrity and purity will only be as important to you as the value that you place on it. And God's calling a generation back to purity. He's looking for purity warriors who won't sell out, but will be heroes of integrity and purity for the next generation. My daughter's generation is looking for heroes. Will you be a hero for the next generation? Will you suit up in your armor and say, I will fight for the next generation? Who in here will say, I will be a purity hero? But can I tell you, God is calling you to lead. God has called you to lead a revolution, to lead an awakening. But can I ask you something? If you're going to lead, please be going somewhere we want to follow. Please be going somewhere that's going to lead us to life. Stop buying into the lives of culture around you. Stop worrying that God's truth might offend someone. He cries out, please don't go there. It's too dangerous. The way of sin is death, but his way is life. He has water that you will never thirst again. Did you know that he expects your freedom to last? He wants you to finish the race, to not die, be a cross on the side of the road. He wants you to finish the race, to finish it strong. Your freedom cost Jesus his life. Make it count. Make it worth it. Finish the race. Run the race. I hate to run, but if I'm going to run, I'm finishing what I start. God says, I don't care if you run fast or slow. I don't care if you have the right shoes. I don't care if you've got the right workout outfit. I don't care if you have the right technique. Just run and finish. Finish strong. He says to you, let me heal you. I have scars on my body from surgeries, from accidents. I have a lot of scars. And I look in the mirror, and I heard God tell me, never be ashamed of the scars that life has given you. Because a scar means that the hurt is over, that the wound is closed, and that you've been healed. See, a scar represents where you should have died, but you're alive. A scar represents where the enemy could have took you out, but God intervened. A scar represents where you could have laid down and died, but you're a survivor. You fought your way out. God rescued you. See, quit looking back at all the what-ifs and the could-have-beens and the should-have-beens. And stop whining and declare that you are victorious. Declare that God is in control. Declare that you can look back and you can be a victim for the rest of your life, or you can walk out your freedom and pull people out of their tragedy. God wants to set you free. Stop holding everyone in your life hostage to the pain of your past, because you were called to rescue, not to bind people in bondage. God's called you to rescue. What is in your life that is keeping you from freedom? What you survive should make you stronger. What you survive should make you a stronger person. What you walk through is a good indication of who you're called to. Everyone stand with me, please. What in your life is keeping you from freedom? God wants to have an encounter with you. You see, when you woke up this morning, there was a well that was being dug. There's a well that's before you today. And before you even get to it, there's a man who's a loving Savior who said, I'm going to sit right here. Because the enemy's been lying to some people in this place. The enemy's been telling people they're nothing. The enemy's been telling them they can't stand for truth. The enemy's been telling them that they're worthless. The enemy that's been telling them, you remember what happened back there? You remember what you did? You remember that wrongful touch? You remember that night, that dark night? Do you remember that pain? So I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to silence the voice of the enemy this morning. And I'm going to say, you see right there? You see where I saved you? You see where you're worth something? You see what I see when I look at you? Do you see the purpose that I've put inside you? Do you see that I've put inside you gifts and talents and vision? Do you see that I see a warrior? I see a remnant. I see a remnant rising up. There's a well. If you want to rise above, if you want more than what life has lied to you about, if you want more than what the enemy has presented before you, make your way to this altar tonight or today. Just step out. Who will be a remnant? I wear this bracelet on my wrist not because it's a fashion statement. I wear this bracelet on my wrist because every time I look at it, it's a reminder that that 13-year-old little girl who was so lost, who had no hope, no voice, I wear this bracelet because that day there was a well in the middle of that courtyard with a man, my God, who said, you're worth my time. Who said, you can't see it right now. You don't see it right now, what God has for you, but he's telling you there's something more. Don't settle for what the world has told you. Don't settle for all the junk that the lies of the enemy have told you. He said, you know what? You can't see it right now, but I'm writing the scrolls of your life. Every day of your life, I'm writing the scrolls, and I'm like, oh, she's going to love this. He's going to love this. Oh, my goodness, if he could only see what I've planned out before him, if he could only see that it doesn't matter that his dad walked out on him. It doesn't matter that that happened. It doesn't matter that he doesn't have this or that. She does. It doesn't matter that she can't see it. I'm writing it, and all you have to do is walk it out. All you have to do is look up into the eyes of a loving Savior. How many of you in here would say, I am remnant? I receive the love that God's given me. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on the lies of the enemy. I turn my back on what the world labeled me as. And you say, I am remnant. How many of you would say that? Let me hear you say it. How many of you mean it? Say it like you mean it. Because God's calling you to something bigger than you could ever imagine. He has healing for you today. If I could get all the leaders to come up right now, because I think God wants to heal some people today, to break off some chains that the enemy has held tight. Sometimes we come to the altar, I believe, and we pour everything, just like that woman at the well. She went to the well every single day but didn't get free. She walked to the well every day and with her bucket, she poured everything out before God. But then she dipped it back up and she carried it back.
Every adult, every leader in the house, come down. Come on, get out of your chairs. We're going to have a moment with God. He's thick over this room. You say, well, it's not really my thing. Just get out of your chairs. Come stand in the aisles. Come on, if you don't mind. You didn't show up on a Saturday morning after already two intense days for just a normal day, did you? What if? And I'm not overstepping, my lady. She told me to do this. She said, step up with me. We're partners. But I've watched, and I see the Spirit of God has finally, I see little cracks in some of your mask and the light of God trying to shine through. Little mask that we've been wearing for years. We've got it all together, don't we? If you knew how much, how many times we haven't had it all together. We've walked into services, been on church staffs, wounded, gone home and laid in bed and cried. Times I've come in, 10 years she was trying to have another child, so was I, and I just walk in, get off the road, off a plane after a long trip, and just she'd meet me at the door and I just hold her. The night that we got it, or the day we got a message that we couldn't go to China, be delayed. But if we hadn't been delayed, we wouldn't have our gift. See, there's a moment where you get a drink of water from the well. Now, Karen's going to step back in, but I wanted to call people down. But here's what I want you to do as she begins to lead you. Reach your hand out like this. Shut your eyes. Just like, almost like you're reaching out to pick up a glass of water off the... What you don't realize is you're reaching for the water, you're actually reaching for the hand of God. And he's taking you by the hand and he's pulling you in. And he's wrapping his arms around his children.
See, there's times where you have to stop looking through the microscope and start looking through the telescope. Stop looking at woe is me and start realizing that God has a bigger plan. You see, there was a moment in my life, in a moment of desperation, in a moment of despair, in a moment of depression, that God said, Karen, everything you walk through is not about you. It's about those who need to see you get free. It's about realizing that in my despair, I needed to rescue, that in reaching down, getting free myself, then I was able to rescue other people. You see, so many people think that it's so amazing that we went to China and adopted our precious angel. And they say, how wonderful you rescued her. And I say, no, you don't understand. She rescued me. She rescued me. She changed me. See, God says, what you're going through all those years, it wasn't about you. It was about her. See, if you can get free, God can use you to change the world. How many of you want to get free today?
Throw your hands.
How many of you want to never go back to that place again? Raise your hands right now and pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for seeing me where I am. Thank you for caring enough to meet me. Forgive me for not living it. Forgive me for not seeing what you see in me. I receive the truth of who you've called me to be. Never going back. Stepping forward into the destiny that you have called me to be a remnant that ushers your presence back. Now raise your hands and cry out to God. And if you really mean it, say it as loud as you can. Heal me. Heal me. Freedom. I am remnant. Say, God, overwhelm me with your presence. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the strength when I wake up in the morning to walk out the freedom that I receive today. To not lay it down. To not compromise or sell it away for worldly pleasures. There's those of you in here who feel that if you break down and you cry that it's weakness, but it's really strength. God gives you permission to cry. God gives you permission to be vulnerable, because in your vulnerability, he'll never hurt you. He'll never take advantage. He'll never walk away. He'll never abandon. He'll never make fun. He'll never mock. In your vulnerability, he can mold you and make you into the mighty warrior that he's called you to be. So he gives you permission. He gives you permission to, do you know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is not saying to the one who's hurt you, it's okay what you did. Forgiveness is when you look at them and say, you no longer have the keys to hold me bondage to the pain of my past. That's what forgiveness is. You will never go to the next step in your life if you do not forgive. And God says, I'm calling you to forgive today. What I'm calling you to do is not say it's okay what you did, because it's not. It's saying, I walk away from the pain of what was caused. I walk away from the pain that was done to me. I walk away from the pain that I inflicted on myself sometimes. I walk away from the cutting. I walk away from those things that I try to control in my own flesh. I walk away because I relinquish control to the one who has healing for a lifetime. He's calling you to walk away. Grace is the ability to turn away and say, I can't go back to that. Cry out for him to invade your life, to invade your heart, to transform you from the inside out. If you could get one glimpse of what Jesus sees when he looks at you, you would never doubt who you were called to be. One more time. I am remnant.
See, what's amazing is she got so fired up that she ran back into Samaria. And Samaria is an interesting place. You're writing about it right now. But she became an evangelist that led revival in her city. She said, come see a man at a well. She ran out to the city, no longer worried about if people didn't like her, if they'd mock her. She went out screaming, knocking on every door. I met a man at a well. Come see the man at the well who told me about my past and my future. And the Bible says the whole city came.
You see, being remnant isn't about your boldness in coming to a conference. Because within these walls, it's easy. It's easy to say, I am remnant. But what about when you leave? See, but the man at the well gave her courage and strength to take it outside the well. and declare it to even those who had mocked her. He gave her the strength. See, I love it because in the manifesto that you wrote, my favorite part of the manifesto is the last one. It says, the only fear of the remnant, the only fear. It's not of being persecuted. It's not of being all those things. The only fear of the remnant is that time will not permit you to do all that God has called you to do. So what are you going to do with it? You going to hide it inside? You going to just be a secret closet Christian? Let me tell you something. If the world has courage to come out of the closet, why can't you? Why can't you stand up for truth? Why can't you stand up for what is right? Being remnant is getting courage to walk outside the church and declare, I'm remnant, to those who may not be chanting it with you.
Just give it up for God. Come on.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this word would sit in your spirit and transform you. For more information or to become a covenant partner with Mercy Seat Ministries and Evangelist Pat Karen Chatsline, you can log on to www.mercyseatministries.com.